Welcome to episode 39 of the 11.7 podcast. It is May 8th, and that means close to college baseball postseason. So you guys stick with us. Enjoy this episode. Here we go, episode 39 of the 11.7 podcast, brought to you by College Baseball Hub. You guys check them out on Instagram. They do a really good job promoting the game of college baseball, something that me and James love to do ourselves. You guys also go check us out on social media. I know I say this every episode now, but we do have a really good Instagram following, Twitter following, even a YouTube channel now that's kind of blowing up. So you guys check us out. We put all of our podcasts on YouTube. And they're pretty cool. You can see James with his unbuttoned Oklahoma jersey. You get to see me.
With a nice scraggly beard.
Nice little, and a mustache too. It's Mustache May.
Yes. If you would like to see how handsome we are, we do have a YouTube channel.
Yep.
And this is a podcast all about college baseball from two former Division I players. The 11.7 group is growing so fast. Ben, can you believe that we have had people reaching out to us, offering to intern and work for us? Ben, we don't even work for us. We don't get paid. Like, what do you mean work for us? We don't even work for us. It's crazy how much we're growing.
What they're saying, because if I was a high school kid or even like an early college kid, I would be asking to intern for this too. You know, if you think about it, they want to be a part of something that's growing every day, something that's new, something that's nice and hip. Everybody wants to be a part of the 11.7 crew. It's a way for them to get their foot in the door. And if they really like college baseball, it's a great idea for them. So
I agree. And the only reason that we are in the position to have people requesting to work for us is because we have great fans who listen and engage with us. And we are going to break down a great episode today. Ben, we are getting to crunch time.
That's right. It is, dude. It's almost the middle of May. Like, we got Mother's Day coming up in about 5 days.
Dude. It's wild. Like, I don't know what to do with my hands right now. It's kind of too much.
but yeah, so today it's a Wednesday. So we're going to have our mid-major top 25. Just think about it. Every Wednesday we'll have it. Mid-major, middle of the week. Wednesday, hump day. Campbell Camel's probably going to be.
Dude, they did it again.
I know.
They did it again.
It's hump day, man. That's when they thrive. That's when they thrive. But we're also going to go over all the midweek scores that we find relevant. Same ones that you guys will find relevant. We got some big upsets, including even a no-hitter today that we're going to talk about.
And we are not surprised in the least.
Yeah. So we have – and we also have two projections coming out. One, we're going to talk about our Field of 64 regional projections. And also it's projected that James is going to go on a little LSU rant. So we'll see if that actually unfolds, but he warned me before the show.
I know you're going to get fired up. You're going to be awakened.
I haven't heard it yet. You warned me. So I want to warn the fans. I'm interested to see what's going on. So that's also going to happen. And then it is also Wednesday, which means the top 10 weekend series showdown that you guys get to participate in. We almost had 100 submissions last week. So
it's getting to be too wild.
Even my mom filled out one. And I'm going to tell you, she did better than we did.
You couldn't have done worse than us last week. We've been doing pretty well as a staff.
Yeah.
Last week was not good. Ben, did you hear that it is clinch week? It is clinch week. I think you're getting ready for the summer. Your picks can get ready and go play some little summer golf.
Five and a half behind?
Yeah, you're five and a half behind, and this is week. There's 2 weeks left, 1 week after this week. So, yeah, you I think you said it right. You
pick up at least one game.
You have to do at least one game better than that.
Magic number's down to, like.
Don't make us do the math.
I think it's like four. Any combination of four. But yeah, we'll get into that later in the episode. We'll probably end the episode on that. But James, let's get started with the mid-major top 25. It's something that we kind of teased it a little bit on Twitter with how we come up with that stuff. And I'm gonna have to pull it up on my phone anyways, because I don't have it memorized.
I've got it.
Yeah. So, James, you go ahead and start us with one, and we'll also fill out some honorable mention at the end, too.
Yes, we will. Guys, the reason for the mid-major top 25 is, one, because the grind does not stop. Our grind does not stop. You wanted more college baseball content. Here it is. Ask and you shall receive. But the reason behind it is you're going to see these teams come regional time. They're going to be in the tournament. They're going to be making some noise. One seeds go down every year, and two seeds even more so. And they go down to somebody, and we're giving you a list of some teams. So starting with number one, this isn't even going to be a three seed. They ain't even going to be a four seed because this is a number one seed, Ben. This is the UC Santa Barbara Gauchos.
Yep.
Rolling in number one as the best mid-major team in the country. Coming in number two, the Dallas Baptist Patriots, a team that is – they're not playing their best baseball at this moment, which is okay, but they're still a team I wouldn't want in my regional.
No, never.
They ain't scared. They're not, they
what they've done in the past in regionals. They show up.
We were talking before the show about a certain Power 5 school that just – we feel like just doesn't have – the type of player that really like wants to push through and go through, I hate to say adversity, but go through adversity. The Dallas Baptist players are tougher than that team.
How much? 100%.
Oh yeah. 100%. We're referencing Florida State for you fans that are listening.
We'll get into it later. I already got mad.
That's right.
Sure I got mad.
I'll take the number three through five in the country. Then you can roll in. Yeah. Creighton. Showing up at number three in the country. We were hesitant to put them on for a couple weeks because they had like seven games in a row canceled. But they've got a 29-10 record along with an RPI in the mid-20s and a non-conference strength of schedule is pretty respectable. So they're number three in the country, followed by Illinois State at four and the UC Irvine Anteaters at five. Ben, you can go ahead and jump in if you'd like.
Yeah, and so I believe one through five are all in our regional projections. I think UC Irvine was like one of the last four in or last five in. So, but there are some teams 6 through 25 that will also be in our tournament. It's just at large versus automatic qualifiers. We can only have a certain amount of mid-major at larges. The automatic qualifiers will be scattered throughout this, but. Anyway, so number six is Liberty. Yep. Liberty was close. They almost made our regional projection. We're gonna spoil it, but they were one of the last five out. Like they just a couple more wins, I think.
And
they're tied or they're half a game out of the A-Sun title with Florida Gulf Coast. So those two teams are gonna battle it out. It doesn't look like Liberty's going to get an at-large bid, but you never know. You know,
crazy things have happened. There's still, 10 teams.
They've beaten quite a few ACC teams this year. So
they've beaten North Carolina twice and Wake Forest.
I think they beat Duke, too.
I think they have beaten Duke.
Yeah, so that's a team to look for. Nobody wants to see them in a regional. San Diego State is number eight. No, seven. Sam Houston State, eight. Indiana State, 9. BYU, 10. I think all of those teams except for San Diego State do actually get in the tournament. San Diego State didn't quite make it, but they're a good team. Moving on with number 11, we have Fresno State, VCU at 12, Campbell, 13, UNC Greensboro, 14, Pepperdine, 15, St. Mary's, 16.
I got to take the next team because I love this team.
Yeah, take them.
Wright State, a team that no one wants to see in the regional. They recruit some tough dudes. In fact, I was watching some midweek game where the Wright State was in, and the analyst was mentioning that he had spoken with some of the Wright State players last season, and he was like, are you guys, intimidated going into, one of these regionals, like this big school, big crowd, you guys aren't really used to this. And apparently this player told the ESPN analyst, he's like, dude, let's just say it was Chris Burke, because we've talked to Chris Burke. Yeah. It wasn't Chris Burke, let's say. He's like, dude, Chris, like, they don't know the type of players that we have in this locker room. Like, they don't – this is what he said. They don't know the backgrounds of where we come from. 5,000 people doesn't scare us at all. And I was like, oh boy. And if you've seen Wright State, you know exactly what we're talking about. So they come in at number 17 in the country, followed by Bryant at 18. A new team in the ranking, Southeastern Louisiana. A very good non-conference strength of schedule and a regular strength of schedule starting to creep up there. And their RPI is deserving of a top 25 mid-major.
Hey, they have a big weekend this coming up on Friday against Sam Houston State. And they're tied for the Southland lead. So that's a team that maybe gets that automatic qualifier, runs through the tournament. But it's been a while since we've seen a team not Sam Houston State win the Southland. So it's theirs to lose.
Yeah. No, I just want – we're getting ahead of ourselves, but I want stolen bid madness. I want teams getting pushed out of the tournament because – a team like Southeastern Louisiana that hasn't been on the radar until 2 weeks before the season, and then, we won four in a row. Surprise! Like,
man.
Yeah. Sorry, Clemson. Sorry, Wake Forest. Like, you're done. A small spoiler there of a couple of our final teams in, but continuing on, Elon at number 20, another new team in the rankings. McNeese State at 21, Northwestern State at 22. William and Mary in 23. UT, Rio Grande Valley. Yes, it is a place. At 24. No, I don't know their mascot. There's 300 of them. It's you figure it out. I'm not sure. New Mexico State, 25. New Mexico State, personally, just to finish up, their strength of schedule, horrible. Their non-conference strength of schedule, even worse.
Even worse.
But – they just have the bats. They just have bats to pull off an upset. I
mean, we read off the leaders in the stats department in almost every offensive category, and there was at least two or three New Mexico State players in every single one of them.
Yeah.
Like, those guys can really swing it. They're taking advantage of the bad schedule that they got handed. But it is a team that, you throw your ace on the mound, game one of a regional, they're probably going to hit it.
It's not an easy trip through the lineup.
No, yeah.
Not an easy trip through the lineup. And if you want to say, how can you rank such a team with a bad schedule? There are plenty of teams that play bad schedules that don't hit. And this is not.
you're right. You're absolutely right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Let me read through some of the honorable mentions. We have Evansville, who is actually below 500, but their strength of schedule is not bad. I think it's at 39 or 48.
When you get beaten by good teams, math rewards you somehow.
Yeah. Loyola Marymount, they're an honorable mention team. Incarnate Word, another honorable mention team. Samford, who's actually leading the SoCon right now, honorable mention. And Morehead State, who's having a really good year so far, 32-17. Problem with them is their strength of schedule is 239 out of 298. That's not good. You should win those games, Morehead.
Yes. But, yeah, and we're not saying they're bad. This is honorable mention. There's only 25 spots, you know? So I don't know what to tell you.
James, how cool would it be if there was a like an FCS and an FBS college baseball?
I want it.
But
I want
maybe not out. Based off of conferences, maybe based off of either scholarships or funding, something where the teams that want to invest in baseball get to, and they get to play in the upper tier, and the teams that don't, they get to go play in the bottom tier.
I like the scholarship idea of, hey, if you don't put some of our fans reached out to us. They wanted to hear our thoughts on this. So that's kind of why we're talking about it. But I wanted I like the idea of, hey, if you don't put, maybe 17 full scholarships in, like you're in this tier. I also like the idea of relegation from I love it. Like, hey, Kentucky, better win more than a handful of games or you're moving out of the SEC. You got to play with like the lower tier teams. I don't know. I really kind of like that.
That would be interesting and a lot of logistics behind it. But
there's plenty of teams in the southeast part of the United States where that's doable. Like, yeah. 100% doable.
I agree. There are still a lot of logistics.
West Virginia is in West Virginia, and they play teams in Texas.
Right.
I went to college in Virginia. I played for Longwood University at the time, a respectable Division I school. Not anymore, apparently. apparently, it's because I'm not the coach there. But
Some will say that.
Some will say, dude, I was actually supposed to be a volunteer assistant there, but the guy who wanted to give me the job left town and it didn't happen. But I would have loved to have done it. But
you wouldn't have been paid.
No.
the third assistant would have brought way more stress to you than it did on this show. But
dude, maybe you'd be interviewing me for that topic right now. But
probably not. I'd probably find somebody else.
But okay, so back, just to finish the thought, West Virginia, we're talking about realigning conferences, blah, 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 relegation logistics. West Virginia plays teams in Texas for the Big 12. I went to school in Virginia. I'm from Houston. I'm from Texas. That's a 20-hour drive. So they're flying, like, all those games. I don't know, just wild stuff. But I think we can make it work, a little 11.7 relegation. Maybe we should ask the fans how they would realign conferences and all that.
I like it based off scholarships, but relegation would be cool. I don't know. We'll see. So, James, that was our top 25 for mid-majors. Moving on, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the great action that we had for the midweeks. And, yes, we saw
there was plenty.
We saw some upsets. We also saw some teams make big jumps. A team like East Carolina today took down North Carolina.
Dude, we got to talk about it right now.
And yeah, let's do it.
We just got to touch on it.
Yeah. So Alec Burleson, who's actually one of the best hitters in the nation, threw in that game. Threw, I think, four innings and was touching 92 on the radar gun. Just proves that he's one of the best two-way players we've seen in a long time in college baseball.
Dude.
And I know they give away a two-way player of the year award, and it would be a shock if he doesn't get like a unanimous vote, because Alec Burleson right now is playing a full game of baseball better than anybody else that I can even remember. I'm trying to think of some other two-way guys.
Brendan McKay.
McKay. Oh, dang it. You're right.
I mean, only because we got to watch it in person.
Yeah.
The dude was good.
Another one that comes to mind is A.J. Reed from Kentucky, who like a 1 ERA and also hit like 23 jacks. But yeah, so Alec Burleson right there in the same conversation. He throws today, just shuts the door against North Carolina. James, you were telling me that East Carolina actually traveled well. Like the fan base traveled.
We were getting some submissions from East Carolina fans. And yeah. It was like, this is our time. Like the fans were rowdy. They were having some type of East Carolina cheer, you know, something idiosyncratic to the school. And they were getting after it. They jumped on East Carolina, jumps on North Carolina right just to start the game. I think they put up a 6 spot in the first inning.
That'll do it. That'll do it.
Punched right in the mouth.
And so talk a little bit about how this was like the must-win game, in your opinion, to get them that national seed, or at least have a chance moving forward. Yeah.
We have been diving into teams all over the country for all sorts of reasons, for all sorts of rankings. And East Carolina is one of those teams, and we've been – wanting to see how high do they deserve to be in a few weeks. And we have been debating, you know, are they a top 8 seed? Are they a national seed? And I felt like that they didn't have big enough wins that to be in that category yet. Definitely it's in a hosting category and definitely high, like even a high host. But if you run through the schedule and it just kind of – it felt like something was missing. And this win was a statement win. And I don't think they can coast the rest of the year. Like, I don't – they definitely can't play 500 ball the rest of the way or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But to get a national seed, if they keep pace, like, I think they've got it. I really do after today.
No, yeah, definitely. I think – I mean, obviously they have to show up in the American Athletic Conference tournament. But – the way they've been playing in that conference, there shouldn't be any reason why they don't win at least 2 or 3 games, which I think they need.
Let me ask you this. How wild is our boy Jake Kuchmaner and the rest of his boys being on the bus ride home tonight? Oh,
my God. Jake, old bald-headed Jake, he's probably, I don't know, he's blocking some freshmen.
Hey, I hope someone's getting some peanut butter jelly in the face tonight.
Yeah, hold the door shut in the bathroom. Like, there's all that going on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, we got to get Jake back on the show before they make this trip to Omaha.
Yeah.
Because right now it looks like they're on their way. Like, talent-wise, we talked about it two episodes ago. They have the talent. They have. It looks like they have the resume now. They played competitive with the number one team in the nation with UCLA. So we really like East Carolina right now, but you never know. There's still 10% of the season left, so anything can happen.
And that those are numbers, guys. You can't argue with numbers.
another number, moving on.
Zero.
Yeah. Number zero, yes. Why is that number significant today, James?
Because you and I had the same number of hits tonight as Florida State. That's why.
Well, I think this podcast is going to be a good hit, James. So that gives us one, right?
Oh, God, look at the puns.
but, yeah, no, James. So Florida State gets no hit today by the Hatters of Stetson, which I think is one of the greatest names in college baseball.
That's wild.
And we've kind of foreshadowed to start the show that Florida State maybe isn't the toughest team in the nation.
They're on our pooper scooper list.
Yeah, they're a bunch of front runners that when things are going well, you see them, you know, beat teams and sweep teams and show up to the ballpark with a little bit more edge to them. But when things start going bad, they just shut down. They push a little red button. They're like, hey, we'll figure it out later. Yeah. Like, we'll let them have this. And so they played three midweek games this week. Two against Jacksonville yesterday.
Those were both seven-inning games.
Yeah, both seven-inning games. They split with Jacksonville, and then they get no hit today. So they combined for five runs in what's 14 plus 9?
That was 23 innings.
Five runs in 23 innings against lesser opponents. Like, obviously, Jacksonville and Stetson aren't bad, but they're not
That's like less than two runs a game. Per nine-inning basis.
Yeah, and so that's not good. And so Florida State, who we actually just ranked for the first time in like 8 weeks this week at number 25, decide that maybe they don't want to play the midweeks. Like, I understand maybe pitching-wise you give up a lot of runs, but they didn't. They only gave up, I think, five runs in three games.
That really says a lot. That's a great point that you brought up.
Yeah, but like hitting-wise, you're also facing Jacksonville's 6 through 11 pitchers, and you're facing Stetson's maybe 3 through 5 pitchers. You got to score some runs at home, small ballpark. You're right in the thick of things. Like, if Florida State would have won all three of these, they'd probably be in a good position to host moving forward. But going 1-2, getting no hit, not moving in the right direction.
Just right here.
We can't figure out three teams this year. Maybe three and a half if you count Texas.
Hold on. They can't figure themselves out. It's not our job to figure
it out. It's not our – yeah. If they paid us, it'd be our job.
But if we were your coach, but we're not your coach.
But, yeah, between Florida State, and LSU, those three teams are the biggest roller coasters that you can just move to Orlando, Florida, and make an extension on to Disney World.
Because
when they want it, they're good. When they don't want it, they're bad. It's simple as that. And I teased James before the show. I was like, you know what, James? It's looking like either Florida State, Florida, or LSU is going to win the whole freaking World Series, because what's going to happen is they're going to get hot. They're going to find themselves in a good position in the tournament, somehow host a super regional as like a 2 seed because the 4 seed wins the East Carolina regional. I don't know.
Right.
But they're going to find their way into Omaha, and then their players are going to be like, hey, like, this is cool.
We were good enough to be here the whole time.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And, dude, I can see it now. One of those three teams is going to make a push in Omaha, end up in the championship game, and then their coach is going to say, hey, you guys win two more games, you're national champions, when they can't win simple midweek games like against Louisiana Tech or Jacksonville, Stetson, UCF. Those schools just destroy them. So,
I want to finish up your point about how you would expect a team to struggle in the midweeks. And Ben, you mentioned that they didn't give up a lot of runs, which you could have expected. And I'll just elaborate on it. Part of the reason for that is you'll have guys pitch that have had like 10 to 15 innings all season long. Mm-hmm. And when it's been like 3 or 4 months into the season now, and you only get to touch the mound, you know, 5-6 times, like, it really feels like you don't know what you're doing out there. And like, you really feel like you're behind. Like, those guys really do feel like they're behind.
Right.
I know that because we played college baseball, and I've had buddies who were in that position. It just feels weird. And so you've got guys out there that, A, they're not as good, or else they'd be pitching. B, they feel like they're behind. their talent is kind of seeping away while they're sitting on the bench. And so they go out and walk people, give up, you know, big hits, and it's hard for them to develop. But that's not what happens with Florida State. The pitching's there, but you've got and so while that happens on the defensive side of the ball, what you have on the offensive side of the ball is you still have the regulars out there. You still have the regulars playing midweeks. Coaches don't just, you know, take people and hand out playing time, like especially when you're in a position like Florida State is in.
Yeah. Right?
And so to have those guys go out there and struggle like that, you know, Ben and I didn't play in a Power 5 conference, but we played against Power 5 conferences. And we know that it's hard for those guys to come out with the same level of energy and excitement when they're especially, we've got 14 innings a day and 9 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, well, I have a 50% scholarship. I turned down first-round money to come. Like, you know, just not that excited.
Well, yeah, but and another excuse that usually we hand these teams is like, okay, they're coming out of class because, you know, they have school going on. Well, now it's in the middle of May. Like, school's over for most of these schools. And there's no excuse why Florida State couldn't be offensive. It's not like their players sat in a classroom all day. Like, they're out of school. They have one of the nicest indoor facilities out there. Like, come on, you're facing the Dolphins of Jacksonville or the Hatters of Stetson. You're not facing their Friday night arms either. So sports
on a down year too.
Right. So I think we spent enough time on that topic. It just gets under my skin. It just makes me so.
And we're beyond the point of a players only meet or anything like that. I said, no, not.
It's just like, hey, play for old ball coach 11, Florida State. Mike Martin, that's all you got left. James, I want to hear this LSU rant because I'm going to start it like this. James, Louisiana Tech had lost 7 in a row going into the midweek at LSU, and they lose their baseball field, which they're actually going to have to.
Where'd it go?
They got blown away in a tornado.
It's not in Kansas anymore, Tuffy.
No, it might be in Kansas. That tornado might have taken it all the way a couple dude, states.
Those before. Pictures were wild.
Yeah, well, dude, they can't renovate the stadium. They have to go put it somewhere else. They're literally putting the stadium somewhere else.
They're going to permanently move it.
Yes.
Really?
They couldn't fix it.
Really?
They said the only way they could fix it is if they tore everything down. And
okay.
So it's actually cheaper just to start somewhere else.
The only way we can keep dating is if we break up.
Pretty much. I don't want to get into that. That's weird.
Dude, Ben, I'm not breaking up with you. Calm down. It's not the first time. Aw, that's not true. So they're any plans on where they're going to put it or anything like that?
I don't know, somewhere around there. We'll have to get
grass, I hope.
We'll do what?
I hope somewhere with grass, you know, patch of grass would be nice.
No, well, I think they have an altar field, right?
Yes, but they would have to start on a patch of grass. Anyway, so I didn't know they're gonna have to tear
it
like
that's what Ben McDonald said on the broadcast yesterday. So
wow. That's wild. Yeah. That thing just got established not too long ago, 2 years ago.
Yeah. No, it's a nice facility, or I guess it was a nice facility.
Oh,
but anyways, so they lost 7 in a row, and they're going to LSU. I think all of their games now are on the road, which is tough.
Yeah.
And they go out and just smack LSU in the mouth early and often. It was like a boxing fight, and LSU had their hands tied behind their back. The little left-handed pitcher for Louisiana Tech pitched the best game of his career. LSU, they didn't have competitive at-bats. It kind of seems like they were looking for walks, and Louisiana Tech didn't walk anybody. So that's a formula for trouble. LSU, the fans weren't behind them at all in the game. Like, there was never a point where
it
was that LSU Death Valley crowd of
– And that kind of leads me into what I wanted to talk about today.
Go for it.
Because we had a couple of fan submissions from some LSU faithful. Say we have one gentleman ask, you know, what's the deal with LSU? Like, what's their problem? And he says what's their problem? One and two. Wow, there's a lot of fans that rumbling around, disappointed in the team's performance this year. And thinking that maybe it's time for old man Maneri to go. You know, a lot of new coaches, a lot of new stadiums, maybe, you know, keeping up with the Joneses type of conversations.
Right.
And I said, okay, first of all, like, they don't have a problem. because they're a top 20 team in the country. And second of all, they have been dealing with some injuries. But it really led me to a greater discovery. This is targeted towards unhappy LSU fans, the numerous amount of Mississippi State fans that just jump off a cliff on our Twitter every time they lose a game, which is not often. And the message to fans like that is these programs don't owe you anything. They really don't. Like, unless you're an alum, unless you're a booster, like, unless you are what the baseball program depends on to go and have these awesome recruiting budgets and to build these new facilities, you fill a butt in the seat, you cheer on the team. These 18 to 22-year-olds, like, they don't play for you. They play for these coaches, and the coaches, they don't work for you. Right. Like, unless you're the athletic director, like, they don't owe you anything. So it's just really, really annoying to see people overreacting to stuff when it's like, go do something, like, go watch something else. Like, do anything else besides acting like Paul Mainieri doesn't know what he's doing, or on the Mississippi State end. Like, I don't even know what, like, we've seen so many people just be like, we're done. Like, we can't play against big teams. Like, go somewhere else, please. Like, bottom line, these programs don't owe anything to you. These 18 to 22-year-old kids, they're student athletes. Like, don't get it twisted. Like, over 90% of these kids in 5 years will not be playing baseball. Like, they will be contributing to society in any other shape or form. Okay, so they don't owe you the right to feel like LSU is, you know, the Patriots of college baseball. Like, they really, really don't. And it's just super, like, as much as we like to, like, make fun of Florida State and Florida, like, mostly because, like, we've played against teams like that and we're just in the space, like, they really don't owe you anything. So just kind of don't take yourself so seriously. Who are you?
Keep the Twitter fingers at least on a strict, on a leash. Don't put something out on social media saying, like, Paul Mainieri needs to be fired. He can't even take care of Louisiana Tech at home. It's like, all right, he's been here. He's won national championships. He's put his team in a position to be an elite recruiting class every year.
I was going to say, look, it's not like LSU has won 12 games 3 years in a row. That's a different story. Like, yeah. Programs do go to hell. Like, that is a thing. And, like, that's a different story. I'm sorry, Ben. I'm just super fired up about this.
I love it. So that was James's little LSU rant. Tweet us.
It's fine. It's fine.
Let us know your thoughts on that. I liked it. I think that was good. Kind of maybe as a wake-up call for some people that
you can tweet your thoughts. It doesn't mean that we can't tell you our opinion on your thoughts. Yeah. So that's it.
Everybody has an opinion, but
anyways, they like footballs. They stink, and everyone has one.
That's right. But anyway, so let's run through. I'm gonna run through some quick scores from Tuesday. Another game that caught my attention was the Campbell Camels won 5-3 against NC State. NC State's trending in the wrong direction. We called it a few weeks ago.
What did we say before the show? We wouldn't be surprised happened to NC State.
I don't remember.
I said I wouldn't be surprised if that's a team that goes, you know, 2-0 in their conference tournament, and then a nice quick exit out of a regional as well.
Yeah, but I know. I know you said that. And I know.
I wouldn't bet on it. I'm not saying I'm betting on it. Just wouldn't be surprised.
I know. I wouldn't be surprised either. But something that did come into a surprise that happened on Tuesday was a game that we both watched. Vanderbilt and Louisville. They played at Louisville. Really good crowd on deck. Some of the most elite talent in the game of college baseball was there playing.
Oh.
And something that, like, kind of triggered me was the amount of pitchers that Louisville used. It was kind of – it got to the point where it was kind of disturbing. Anytime you use 9 pitchers in a game and you only give up 6 runs total –
this is interesting because you and I have differences of opinion.
Yeah, I think that – so this is my opinion. As long as it's not Major League Baseball, so any level below that, the more pitchers you roll out there, the higher, like, I guess, likeliness that one of them is going to have a bad day, right?
True.
So you, if you roll out five pitchers and four of them go two innings or whatever, and then your fifth pitcher that goes out there, I don't know. I feel like he, one of the
five. Can I kind of jump on that?
Yeah, because I'm getting kind of scattered brain. Right,
okay,
now.
So
I'm trying to find my point. I can't find it yet.
Here's the point. I will hand it to you because I think about this a lot because I do some consulting work in the college baseball space. Yada yada yada. So the problem you run into is the more arms you run out there, you have to bet on positive feedback loops happening of each guy going out there and doing his job. And like every time you send a guy out there, he has a certain percent chance of doing well or doing not. And, you know, 50% good, 50% bad, 80% good, 20% bad. You know, if a kid who hasn't pitched all year, 1% good, 99%, each time you do that, the probability of it happening is pretty much random. There's nothing really you can do to control it. It's based off the kid's baseline talent and whatever. Yeah. So you're having five flips of a coin, so to speak, and are you going to land on the right side every time? You can take that gamble if you'd like. That's basically the thought.
Yeah, and so I think my point was, and I didn't even realize it until now, so Louisville runs out nine pitchers. And they only gave up two runs until the eighth inning when there was a big two-run double. I believe it was by Ray. I think.
Yes, it was. Second baseman.
Yeah, second baseman Ray hits a two-run double in the eighth. And so I was thinking, I was like, I guess the major point that I want to say is like nine pitchers and none of them got hit hard until the end kind of proves my point that maybe you're – one through seven pitchers should have pitched more because they were all having a good day.
Yeah.
So anytime, I mean, the more college arms you throw out there, there's a likeliness that they're not going to have their best command or maybe not their best stuff. And when you're facing a team like Vanderbilt, your mistakes get punished. And they saw that with two runs in the eighth and two runs in the ninth on a 2-2 game, the whole game.
Yeah.
That's my point.
Go ahead.
I was just, I didn't agree, and with pitching changes, it also flows, like, the flow of the game gets thrown off.
It's bad for the product.
Yeah, and I understand if there was nine pitchers and Vanderbilt put up 20 runs, it's like, all right, nobody can get these guys out. But the guys were getting Vanderbilt out. I thought it was a big game. I know they still have conference play this weekend, but this is the type of game that can move you two or three spots for a regional host.
Huge based off of the projection.
It's huge. So I thought that Louisville would be a little bit more precise with their pitching decisions. I feel like it kind of got sloppy.
And you know, it's interesting you say that because Vanderbilt took the opposite approach. They left a pitcher in who threw more pitches than he had all season, and I think doubled the innings he's ever worked in a game this season because he was doing well.
I think it was AJ Franklin.
Yep, AJ Franklin. Thanks for plugging the name for me.
Yeah,
but on the flip side of it, just to play devil's advocate, to play devil's advocate, Dan McDonald could be really just wanting to get some guys innings in a meaningful game that he might know ahead of time. These kids won't pitch in a meaningful game for me the rest of the season.
Right. But,
like literally the rest of the season, like unless we're in the conference tournament, you know, and we're literally pitching you because we don't want anyone else to lose bullets. That's what mop up role literally means. Like, if anyone else pitched, it would be a net loss to the contributions of this club.
Right. Like,
that's basically the mop up role. But I agree with you. Like, I didn't like watching it. It was such a drag. I think at one point they had changed three pitchers in a row after like three consecutive walks, and I was like, dude, this is like, it's.
Well, I'm telling you,
pick one kid and let him figure it out. Like, you're down four runs already. Like, if this game, like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, someone's got to figure it out. So I agree with you there. But we should keep rolling through the scores.
Yeah, I'm gonna move to Wednesday. There was a few scores that really stood out to me. UCF upsets Miami. 8-7 ball game, typical midweek game. Neither team threw their best arms, but they both showed that they could hit. So that might have hurt Miami's chances of hosting a regional just a tiny bit, but they still have to play out their ACC schedule and every ACC tournament. Every little bit counts. What?
Every little bit counts. So
yeah, you're right, 100%. Georgia loses to Jacksonville State in their last midweek game of the season. Georgia, it was 11 innings, and Jacksonville State is one of the better teams in the OVC. I don't think this hurts Georgia too much. I know they didn't go in there expecting to lose, but they also didn't go in there guns a-blazing, 100% trying to win. So that's what you kind of get when you get late season midweek games. Georgia's pitching staff hasn't been healthy. They knew what they were getting into. I think they're just glad they don't have to worry about midweek games the rest of the year.
Glad it's over.
Yep. We already talked about East Carolina beating North Carolina. Huge step in the right direction for the Pirates. Looking at a national seed for the NCAA tournament, they just have to finish strong. And the last thing I want to say for our scores on Wednesday, Mississippi State squeaks out a win against Memphis, who Memphis isn't one of – like Memphis is one of those teams that, like, gets good players but never really turns it into good stuff. Like, they're always, like, right around 500. I think they're in the RPI, like, low 100s, like maybe, like, 110, 112, yeah, something there. But Mississippi State is 13-0 in midweek, so that's going to help them come – I guess stretch time that they get 13 extra wins under their belt, that teams like Georgia and Miami, they get one less. So
I think if I remember correctly, that means if they play no more non-conference action, they will have finished the year with one loss total non-conference.
Yeah. And that was to Southern Miss on a Friday night, 10 innings, 1-0.
You watched that game.
I did.
Yeah. So that was their
non-conference loss, which is quite amazing. That's hard to do.
Crazy stuff.
So anyways, that pretty much wraps up scores for the week. The last thing we're going to do for this show, because we're running a little bit low on time, we are going to do our top 10 series weekend challenge, where James is up 5.5 games on me. But this is the week where I'm going to gain 5 games on him, because he's going 0-5 and I'm going 5-0.
This is big.
I picked the series this weekend. So
bring it. Let's go. I'm ready to clinch.
I got to get a little bit of insight, more than you did at least. The 10 series consists of Indiana and Michigan, Indiana State, Dallas Baptist.
Finally.
Tennessee, Florida, Coastal Carolina, UT Arlington,
oh,
Tulane, Houston, Campbell, Winthrop, Arizona State, Nebraska. That's a huge non-conference weekend for both of those schools.
Very much so.
Yes. Western Kentucky, Louisiana Tech, Cal Poly, UC Irvine, Sam Houston versus Southeast Louisiana.
We are going mid-major to the core this week.
A lot of these weekend series have played big implications on who's going to be seeded 1 versus 2 in their conference tournament. So that's why I picked a lot of these, and I had to try something different. These SEC, ACC, Big 12 weekends aren't doing me any justice.
Yep. Hey, but guess what? We make the rules.
We do. And you get to go first. You get to pick the first one for me, sir.
No. Last week, I made you. It was the other way around. So you get to.
Oh, okay. I get to make you pick first. Even better. It plays in my favor a little bit more.
Yes.
I think the biggest one that I can't quite put my finger on is.
You have the piece of paper right there. You can do it.
I know. I put my finger on one. It's Cal Poly and UC Irvine.
And why is that? Because we've talked about that.
Because Cal Poly, I think, is still in first place in the Big West. And UC Irvine is, I think they were the last team we put in our regional 64.
Yeah. UC Irvine refuses to beat anybody any good. Despite being handed the teams on their schedule, they refuse. I mean, they beat Iowa. They salvaged the game from a sweep. So are you giving me this series? Or?
I am.
Oh, no. That's really funny, because I tried to keep UC Irvine out of the tournament before the show.
You did. You spilled your case on why they should not be in it.
Yes, I did. I did very much so. Oh, my God. Do we know who's at home or not, or did you do your thing again?
I think UC Irvine's at home.
Oh, give me a break.
I don't look into it, man. I just see
I know.
Throw it down.
Gosh, that's really funny. I feel like I have to pick Cal Poly, and I'm going to.
All right. That's your pick. Cal Poly. Now you got to give me two of them.
Yes, sir. This This is correct. This is how the rules work. I'm giving you Indiana and Michigan. I want no part of that one.
Huh. I'm going to go with Indiana.
I love it. They've got the number one home run club in the country. There, I said it well that time.
And Michigan's in first place in the Big Ten, but we looked at their schedule. Michigan hasn't beaten anybody. Like, they've literally played the worst teams in the Big Ten all year. Now they get a little taste of the second Bash Brothers in Indiana. The
Mad Attack.
Yeah, the Mad Attack.
Matt Lloyd and Matt Jorski can swing the pole up in the cold weather state.
Exactly.
Now I've got to give you another one.
Yes, you sure do.
I'm making you pick between Tulane and U of H.
Ooh. Tulane lost 2 out of 3 to UCF last weekend. Houston's playing good ball.
I'm not a fan of the U of H.
I think it's at Houston. They play better. I'm taking the Cougs.
All right.
I'm really big on these white and red teams right now. If you're white and red, I'm probably going to pick you.
Hey Ben, don't get nervous, but we may have just decided who wins or not. Like, these three series are the hardest ones. You know, this could be it.
Here we go. Coastal UT Arlington.
It's put up or shut up time for my boys at Coastal.
It sure is.
Chad Oxendine, if you're listening, I wish you luck. My former hitting coach at Longwood University, now director of baseball operations, at his alma mater. One of the best hitting coaches in the country. I'm rolling Coastal Carolina.
I knew you were going to do that, and I'm glad
you can't did. Not do it. I can't.
UT Arlington's the real deal.
They are. I fought to put them in a mid-major ranking, and I was overruled by the 2/3 of the staff. So I like UT Arlington. They're
in the Sun Belt.
We've had the argument. Like, 98% of the people who listen to this podcast have no clue who UT Arlington is or what their mascot is. But I subside to the rules.
Yeah.
All right, so you got to give me one more?
Yeah, I'm going to give you Arizona State, Nebraska.
Arizona State.
I think that's a trap series. I think Nebraska is better than Arizona State.
Oh, you know what? You might be right, but I tell you what I'm not doing. I'm not watching Hunter Bishop and Spencer Torkelson hit 3 miles combined worth of home runs and have and
that's
have
it? Go, just 3 miles?
That's right. I'm being conservative. And have that take me into next weekend where it's winner take all. I'm not doing it. I'm not picking against them. It's just not happening. So
okay. All right. Fair enough.
Two more for you, sir.
Yes.
You are picking between you'll take Indiana State and Dallas Baptist, please.
My mind says take Indiana State. My gut says take Dallas Baptist. I'm going to take Dallas Baptist. Just got embarrassed on the road against Missouri State last week. I think they come back home and embarrass a senior heavy team in Indiana State. I'm taking Dallas Baptist.
All right.
Yeah, the Patriots, I mean, they have to win the series. Like, if not, it'd be like a 4 seed in the Missouri Valley, and that's not suitable.
No, not suitable at all. Mm-mm-mm. I'm making you pick between Tennessee and Florida.
I'm glad you did that, because I actually have a good feeling that Florida takes care of business this weekend.
Oh!
Yeah, I think that what's going to happen is Florida is going to turn it on the last 7 games of the season, and they're going to win at least 3 games in the SEC tournament.
Don't make me throw up live on it.
I will. I will do that because I'm going to say that Florida not only
wins. Let me get my cough spray again.
But I think Florida sweeps them. I think they have a little quiet confidence going. They just got swept by Georgia. It was a big wake-up call. Like, uh-oh, we're sitting in May. 5 games below 500 in conference play. And, like, we're looking at maybe not even, like, having to win 2 games just to get into the SEC tournament. So I'm taking the Gators. I think talent-wise, they're up there with anybody in the nation. They just need to get their head on straight. Plus, I think they're scared for their life with Coach Sullivan.
You and Florida are in the same boat this weekend. It's got to happen.
It's got to happen.
So you guys are going down or riding together. I love
it. Yep. All right. I'm going to give you Sam Houston in Southeast Louisiana.
Not picking against my technical alumni.
That's right. James graduated from Sam Houston.
I'm a Bearcat for life, y'all. Did not play baseball there. Just finished up school there. So I'm picking Sam Houston. You got to give me another one?
Yep, I do. And it is going to be between...
So you get to pick your last series. This is it right here.
Western Kentucky, Louisiana Tech. Because I know you know too much about the Big South, and I'd rather me not know anything than you know everything. So
truth. I'm going to take Louisiana Tech.
That's the only home team you took.
They're not even playing at home.
That was my joke. The only team that's scheduled as a home team is playing in Monroe, Louisiana, on the road. So
I just took all road teams?
Well, one's like neutral site.
What if I go 2-3, that's fine as long as you do.
Nope, I'm going 5-0 because I'm taking.
Here, I'll lay a wager with you right now.
Uh-oh.
If you go 5-0, I'll let you pick the series again next week.
Okay. Hey, how good is Winthrop?
Just
I almost got you to say it.
I thought we were off air for a second. You sounded so genuine. Yeah. You sounded so genuine. Hey, if their giant freaking monument in center field gets to play, they're pretty good.
Their batter's out, yeah. So I get to pick between Campbell or Winthrop. And I know that Campbell's really good this year. I also know that Winthrop, I think, is in second place.
These are the two top teams in the conference.
I mean, it's hump day right now. And I'm going to roll with the humps. The Campbell Camels.
We have a Blinn alum out there.
That's right.
We also have a Blinn alum at Western Kentucky.
We do.
Hold on a second. We also have a Blinn alum at Sam Houston State.
Who we do?
Seth Ballou is still playing college baseball. Oh,
that's right.
We're connected on this podcast, y'all. That's what we're trying to say.
There's two at Texas A&M, and there's one at Mississippi State. We know everybody. And if we don't know, we know somebody that knows.
Yeah, it ain't that far away. If you guys want someone on the show, just let us know.
So pretty much wrap it up, and before we get off the show, we're going to review our picks. James has Cal Poly, Coastal, Arizona State, Sam Houston, and Louisiana Tech. I have Indiana, Houston, Dallas Baptist, Florida, and Campbell. This has got to be the week. I have to go at least 4-1, I think, to have a chance next week. And you can't be better than 2-3. If I get in two games this week, that puts me 3.5 behind. That's doable, but very unlikely.
Dude. And the thing is, we can't tie because I have a half a series because we had one get postponed.
I hope the tie just kind of makes. I will say the tie actually helps me because you were going to sweep. Like, you were going to win that last game. I'm confident. So it helps me in a little bit. But, yeah, James, anything else you want to say before we get off the show?
I'm ready. Let's do this. We're going to release our projections tomorrow for the Field of 64. Feel free to outrage, to love it, to share it with someone. Ole Miss is in it.